All right, we come in here on a Wednesday night as the Buccaneers get set to take on the Philadelphia Eagles, and that will be Sunday at 1 o'clock in a mighty large NFC football game as the Bucs come back home to Raymond James Stadium, and we get ready for that. We also get ready for the 10-year reunion of the Super Bowl champion 2002 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so there's going to be a lot going on, and we get to say hello and welcome and good evening to number 93, Gerald McCoy. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Feeling all right? Ready to go?
I'm feeling all right. Ready to go.
I know the fans want to hear from you. They're always interested, especially midweek, about how things are going. You got the day of preparation in today. So how did things go today?
Things went well, man. We got back to the basics. I think we slipped a little bit, you know, got a little bit away from our the basics and our training. So coach took us back old school. We got after it. So, but it was good. Felt good.
When you mention basics and you mean fundamentals, give fans an idea what the basics are in an in-season practice, fundamentals, and what you're working on.
Well, in your individual periods, you know, later in the season, things start to change. You start to not go through the motions, but you don't pound away at the fundamentals like you do earlier in training camp and in the spring and early on in the season. Well, you know, today, everybody's individual drills were just like the basics, fundamentals. And then, you know, it's just foot placement, hand placement, bending your knees, ankles, you know, just football fundamentals.
All right, so that was some of what went on today, and you've obviously been scouting the Eagles, and we'll talk some about that as we go along. If you would indulge me for a moment or two, can we go back to Sunday and that Peyton Manning guy? What was it like to be out there in Denver going against he and the Broncos and that whole scene on Sunday? Because we haven't had a chance to ask you.
Did I mention last week that somebody said he was a computer?
I believe you said that.
Yeah, he is. It's real. And he is as advertised. One time he told me what I was doing. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
What do you mean he told you?
He came up to the line. He pointed at me and Bowers and called out what we were doing. Well, of course, we couldn't, like, look at each other like, how did he know that? We just had to, like, keep a straight face like,
No. Okay.
But that's exactly what we were doing.
He just knew.
He just knew. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
He just knew.
But you mentioned to us last week, and I thought this was fascinating. This is why we love Total Access. You mentioned to us that one of the challenges was going to be that when they come to the line, he's going to try to not only diagnose what defense you're in, but put you in a defense he wants you in so he can run a play that he wants to run. And you guys, and we talked with the head coach about this on Monday, from almost play one, wanted to show him the same look and not move around. And I thought that was fascinating how that worked throughout the game where he wanted you to move and you didn't want to move.
Well, that was our game plan, which I couldn't state
right
last week. But our game plan was to just sit still. Not move. It doesn't matter what he says or what he does. Don't move until the ball snaps. You get at a certain – everybody was assigned a certain alignment. You get at that alignment and you don't budge at all. And, you know, the guy is so good. Even through that, he started to figure out what we were doing. I'm like, nobody's moving. How do you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he knows. I mean, I don't know how he does it.
We were joking right before the show began about Santa Claus. How does he always know? He just knows, right? For the kids out
knows.
There. For the kids out there that are listening to us, whether you're good, whether you're bad, Santa just knows. And he also knows what you want. So he knows, right? It's kind of like Peyton Manning, along the same lines. All right. So, you know, this season has been an interesting one, and make no mistake about it, these games take on more and more significance here as we get towards the end of this season. Was that a playoff-type atmosphere? I mean, Sunday at Denver, loud crowd, rocking crowd, Peyton Manning's out there.
It was legit. It was fun. A lot of people, the thing about playing that game is you had to have fun with it. How do you not have fun facing Peyton Manning? I don't care what happens, what the outcome was. Yes, I would have preferred to win. However, I don't know if I ever get the opportunity ever again. So the fact that I did have the opportunity, why not have fun with it? Why not?
Right.
You know, and it was fun, man, just facing that guy and his competitive nature, man. He's extremely competitive, and it was a fun game to play.
Did you say anything after the thing was over with, or you just go to the locker room? Did you get to speak to him?
I went and talked to him, man. I shook his hand. I don't care how people feel about, you know, oh, y'all in the same league, you shouldn't. Yes, I should. He is who he is, and he is who he is for a reason. So, you know, I just went and shook his hand and told him it was an honor to play against him. Like, something, I didn't think there was anything wrong with
right. that. Right, and that's paying a compliment to one of the greats, one of the – in the modern era, maybe the greatest. That debate is up there for, you know, Brett Favre, Dan Marino,
in my
Tom
opinion,
Brady.
He is.
You would say he is the guy?
He's the one.
Interesting. All right, so there's Gerald's opinions on Peyton Manning and the Broncos. And so taking on the added significance as we go here, I mean, that's the important thing. And I know the coach has emphasized, he was saying this earlier this week, and you guys have said the same thing, one-game season. The Philadelphia season is the most important season. Just elaborate on, I'm sure that's the conversation around the building. Don't get caught up in what might happen down the road. Worry about this week, right, and only this week.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of controversy going on around the league as far as people getting in the playoffs and who's here, who's there, this record, that record. If we focus on that, it could deter us off the path we want to be on, which is just focusing on the Eagles. And then another thing you don't want to happen is you take the Eagles lightly because of their record. The Eagles are a dangerous team because I personally truly believe that team is fighting very hard for their coach. They're just playing hard for them. There's a lot of stuff going on in that organization. But one thing those guys are doing, they're playing hard for their coach. And they have nothing to lose. So why wouldn't you want to cut it loose? You know, and those are the most dangerous teams. Teams who have nothing to lose and it just going. I mean, they gave the Cowboys hell in Dallas. And, you know, and the Eagles hadn't been having, like, close call games. But, I mean, they almost pulled that one out.
Well, and you've said to us, and this is something that others have said, and it's reinforced every week, everybody's got players, no matter what your record is. And everybody is dangerous. It's the NFL.
It's the NFL.
Right?
It is. It's the NFL. On any given Sunday, anything can happen. The most miraculous things happen in these games on Sundays, and it's always something you just don't expect. You're like, where'd that come from? But it happens, so, you know, we got to be ready for anything.
All right, so we got a lot going on here tonight, and as I mentioned, it is the 10-year reunion for the Super Bowl 37 team. 10 years ago, the team that beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game went on to beat the Oakland Raiders in Super Bowl 37, and we've been having fun with that. So do you want to have some fun here in just a couple of minutes with a member of the Super Bowl 37 team?
Sure.
Is that okay? Is that allowable?
Yeah, that's fine.
Shall we let the audience in on who it's going to be, or shall we let them wait for a minute until that guest joins us? What do you want to do? It's up to you.
I don't know. I have to wait and see who it is.
You want to wait and see
who
it is?
Just wait and see.
All right. So in the radio business, it's known as a tease. So here we go, Buck fans. Find out when we get back on Buccaneers Total Access who the member of the 2002 Super Bowl Buccaneers team is that will be joining us right here live tonight on Total Access with Gerald McCoy. We will have much more. Stay with us here on this Wednesday night as the Bucs get ready to play that game with the Eagles, and the Super Bowl Buccaneer alumni will be honored at halftime of that game, but one of them will be with us straight ahead. That's coming up on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We come back in. It is Buccaneers Total Access as we get ready for the Bucs and the Philadelphia Eagles. Sunday, it will be 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium, and we eagerly await that one as the Bucs come back home for a key matchup for that P word down the road. Got to take care of business on Sunday against the Eagles, as we've been talking about. We also are due to be joined here shortly. Stand by. Gerald's got a surprise coming here from a member of the Super Bowl reunion, 10-year reunion Buccaneers that will be playing here or will actually be here while the Buccaneers are playing this week, will be honored at halftime, be part of a big festive weekend involving the Super Bowl winning Buccaneers of 2002 that beat the Eagles in the NFC Championship game and then later went on to beat the Oakland Raiders. And so without further delay, why don't we say hello to that member of the Super Bowl Buccaneers, Super Bowl champion. Do you want to say hello to Gerald McCoy here tonight? Hello there, Super Bowl.
Y'all don't introduce your guests?
Well, we wanted to kind of surprise 93 with 99, Warren Sapp.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
What's up, man?
What up, boy?
Hanging in there.
That's a good thing, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
So what's going on over there?
Oh, nothing, man. Getting ready for Philly.
That's it?
That's it. Getting ready for Philly.
Yeah, he's got a job to do. The rest of us
getting ready for Philly. They all just chilling. We working.
The rest of us 99 are interested, obviously, in other things besides just the game. But he's focused. I can tell you that from the first segment, Warren. He's focused on the job at hand, and that's a good thing, actually. If you're a player, right, Warren?
That's the way I would always consider it.
So I got a question. They asked me earlier, you know, why was I a Buccaneers fan, and I said 99. And then they asked me, did I get to watch the game? And I said, well, I seen my man, you know, get his sack in the first half. But I didn't get to watch the second half because, you know, I had to go to church. My question to you is, what is your favorite memory or best memory about that game or that week or, you know, just the situation in general?
Wow. I have to say when Rondé, you know, coined his favorite term because he was pretty serious about that whole little, you know, week that led up to it. And he said, damn the Pro Bowl, I'm going to San Diego. That's my favorite. That is my absolute favorite that whole time. I mean, Rondé Barber has a way with words sometimes. That one right there sticks in my mind forever and a day.
Yeah, Rondé definitely do. Now that, I mean, you guys have been, I mean, since you came in the league, you had been in a fight to get to that point. When you finally got to that point and won that championship, that feeling, what was that feeling like?
Wait a minute. You talking about the championship that I won in Philly? Or the championship
No.
The world championship.
No, the world championship. Yes, sir.
After the Super Bowl, you just, you know, I just think about that time when me and Brooks were standing in the tunnel, me and them looking at each other, and somebody yells at us, they went overboard in the pregame show. We're not introducing anybody. Me and Brooks look at each other and say, we didn't come here for an introduction anyway. The world knows who we are. We came for a championship. I mean, it was just one of those moments where it was just the little subtle things because it went so fast. And I hope you get an opportunity to enjoy this because, I mean, right now as I'm sitting here just thinking about it 10 years, you know, after the fact, oh, my God. I mean, sheesh. It was crazy. It really was crazy and a fun time for everybody.
All right, that's the one and only Warren Sapp with us there.
I may have
heard something on the
phone.
Oh, no,
he here.
I didn't know y'all hang up on me.
We did not.
And the best part is, 99, we got all of that answer here out before the little click there that we heard, but he's still there. So it's all right, Gerald. He's still there.
I was about to say, don't cut
okay.
my guy
No,
off.
No, he's still there. And again, because we got so much to go over with this guy. You know, one of the things, and Warren, you started to answer this. Last night we were talking with Rondé Barber and with John Lynch about this. The barrier, if you will, of beating the Eagles, the previous 2 years having lost in the playoffs, earlier in that regular season having lost to the Eagles, to finally get over that hump, whatever analogy you want to use, and beat those guys and close down the vet like you guys did with winning that NFC title game. What was that like for you, your teammates, and the organization?
There was, you know, it was more of a personal thing between me, Johnny, and Brooks because we got on the bus after October the 20th, 2002. That's the day we lost in Philly. It's funny that I didn't even know the date, but it was October the 20th. 10/20/02, Brooks and me get on the bus, and we're waiting on Johnny to get on. John gets on, and he says, I got him. I looked at Brooks. I said, what'd you just say? He said, I got him. I said, I promise you this. I'm going to bring you back to this stink-ass stadium, and we're going to tear it down. I said, I promise you, I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to make you tell me that again. Because we had scored the only touchdown that day. I slapped it out and scooped it up, and we scored. I mean, and we hadn't scored a touchdown in that place, so at least we had got that out of the way. So, you know, but Johnny really felt confident that he had their system, had their blitzes. And I told him, I said, we're going to bring you back here, and we're going to make you prove that to me. I said, I'm going to make you prove that to me. Oh, my God. Sheesh. You talking about some frustrating times?
Yep.
Oh, God. I mean, we used to just take a shellacking. What was it, 31-9, 31-10? I mean, we used to get beat down going into Philly, man. It wasn't fun. It really wasn't fun.
Well, and we talked last night, and you know this, Warren, there are so many great plays from that season, but when Rondé Barber picked that ball off to basically ice the game 92 yards the other way for the touchdown, you were on the field for that moment. What was that like, reminiscing now 10 years later?
I'm trying to get a rush, and I had a pretty good one on that one. And I'm turning the corner, and Rondé picked it off, and I said, oh, thank God. I just said, oh, thank God. And then I looked up, I said, oh, who's going to catch him? You know, because Rondé's not the fastest guy we have on our defense. So I looked up, and Dwight's got the escort. I said, oh, we home. We good. Dwight's got it. Dwight's the fastest thing we got. He'll take him all the way to Florida right now. He's got an escort. We good. I mean, it was just that moment at that time. Rondé makes that play. It's over. It is absolutely over. I mean,
I remember where I was at when that happened. I was sitting two tables in to the left at a Texas Roadhouse.
You got out of church by that time?
Yeah. And, man, when I seen that, I mean, I little kid, for a little kid, and you see that, you don't know much about football, but you do know what an interception is. And I was just like, go, 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 go.
Yeah,
he was like, sit down.
The first two times I said, go, go. Then I looked, saw Dwight, I said, oh, we home. But here's the best part of this, Gerald and TJ. Every time I went back to Philly, all these years, in the last 10 years, and I've gone back many, many times, saw Michael Jordan's last game in Philly, you know, saw the NBA Finals, saw a bunch of stuff in Philly. Their bags are still packed from that game.
Yeah, they were
There were people in Philadelphia that had their tickets paid for and didn't even want a refund.
That's insane.
Yeah, Keyshawn was telling us the other night that, as the story goes, and you guys were talking about this amongst yourselves after the win, that I guess the equipment truck for the Eagles had already left for San Diego. And that makes the story even sweeter, doesn't it?
I'm telling you, boss. I see people now from Philadelphia, and they look at me now and they go, you know, I hate you. And I'm like, your bags are still packed from 2002? And they're like, yeah, we were going to San Diego.
That's funny.
I go to Norbert. I go all parts of Philly. And they, I'm telling you, that game is stuck. And it's stuck in there like that veterinary hit on Frank Gifford that everybody, you know, when he's posing over it.
Right.
That's how that game is stuck in their mind. I mean, they can't get it out. They cannot get it out. I promise you.
The one and only 99, Warren Sapp, with us on Buccaneers Total Access here with Gerald McCoy. You got something else here for the big fella?
You know I don't wear that number anymore, right?
I know you don't wear it anymore. Right, now on the NFL Network. But you're always going to be 99.
And I got a question.
Actually, my little girl's 99 now. She took it. She's a goaltender at Lake Highland Prep, so she has.
Where there it is.
I'm telling you, I can't even say that number. I don't have it. I'm telling you, she has it.
She has it, okay.
Yeah, she has it.
I got a question. Now, about to play Philly. Michael Vick's not playing. But one thing I look forward to when I seen Philly was on our schedule this year is I was going to get the chase around Vick. Now, you sacked a lot of quarterbacks, but one guy you told me you never got to was Michael Vick. What was it like trying to chase that guy down? And you had to chase him around when he was, you know, he was a runner. And that's all he wanted to do.
Yeah. I knew I wasn't fast enough to get him, so I just led him through the tunnel and right up to Brooks. I mean, it wasn't even a problem. We had a system. Brooks was our highway patrolman, so we just made sure Vic was on the proper road and Brooks had his sirens and got him, pulled him right on over because I couldn't catch him. I don't like to. One time we went up there and they waxed the field on me, Gerald. Waxed it. I mean, it was so slippery. I'm going to say this out loud, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this. I wore a pair of Reeboks from the game. Oh. So I had to put a pair of Navi Reeboks on and spat them because they had waxed the field. And I never got Michael Vick. I never sacked Michael Vick, and I never sacked the quarterback from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Jacksonville Jaguars, or the Miami Dolphins. I'm a Florida boy. I take care of my Florida teams.
So no doubt.
Now, we should mention that in that Super Bowl run, there was a play in the Georgia Dome where I think, if I remember this off the top of my head, Warren, there's a loose ball from a sack, and it may not have been against Vic. You picked it up, and did you not flip it to Derrick Brooks for a touchdown, correct?
Yeah. Steve White them smashed him. I mean, smashed him, and the ball just came out right to me. And Brooks is yelling, "Doom, doom!" And I just looked and threw it. And I knew it was him. I mean, I've heard their voices when we were 17 years old. So he said, "Doom, doom!" I threw it right to him. And then the best part about it is Reeves challenged it. And I was over there clowning their sideline. I mean, you know me. I'm in full lathered mode at this point. I said some real choice things to him. I think that's why they hate me now when I tell about Raymond James North. Y'all got to retake that over for me, too. Please, Gerald.
All right.
Please, Gerald. Whenever the Bucks go north, we take over a certain stadium that doesn't have any tailgating for their fans, and our fans take it over. By the fourth quarter, we got a party going on. We call it Raymond James North. Can you please start that again for me?
I got you. Raymond James North. I got
you. All right. Start that again for me, please.
No doubt.
Hey,
love my Bucks. I love them.
Warren, this is going to be such a fun weekend, and I know that you're anxious and excited about coming and being part of it. What does it mean to come back 10 years later, see some teammates that maybe you haven't seen for as long as 10 years? And I know by the same token, you also lobbied John Gruden. You're working. He's working. You lobbied him to be able to come to this thing. What does all of that mean to see all these guys, Coach Gruden, et cetera, for this weekend?
I told Johnny if he wasn't coming, I wasn't coming. It's just that simple. I can't go anywhere without my coach. The coach and the captain must be together. I got on the phone. I called Greg Spires. I called everybody I can get a number on. I said, "Have you lost your mind? For the only time in your life, we'll be champions again. We get to relive it again every 10 years. So if you don't have anything on your schedule, I would advise you to get to this one because Warren Sapp has never tailgated in his life. I've never been outside of a stadium waiting on a football game to, you know, kick off and have the whole barbecue and the food and everything. So I brought Myron Mixon to the barbecue this weekend. Barbecue Jesus will be in Raymond James Stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are we breaking news tonight on Total Access? You're getting that done for this weekend?
Since you stole our name of our show right off of NFL Network. And you got the big dog right there with you. I figured I'd let him know that I have some pulled pork for him after he gets finished with some stanky eagle.
No doubt. I'll be waiting. I'll be ready.
By the way,
I have your big tray. I promise you, I have your big tray, baby.
All right.
So, wait, you're organizing a tailgate, but it's a private tailgate. We should let the fans know.
No. The truck is 120 by 60, so I don't know how you can miss it.
Okay, so wait a minute. We got to look out for the truck. And Buck fans,
it will
be ready.
Right there, front and center. So it will be right there. You won't miss it.
What do you think, when you think back on winning the whole thing in San Diego 10 years later, Warren, what do you think about the most, one or two things finally, about winning the whole thing? Because that's the ultimate goal of every player.
The parade. Because you know what I told, well, when I actually first started talking about a parade, people looked at me like I had lost my mind. I don't win no championship in Tampa. Ain't no parade ever come. He's never going to win. I'm like, what? Come on, man. Brooks Lynch, I know y'all believe like I believe. Yeah. So when we had that parade going that day, and we was coming down Florida, and you looked up into those little parking garages and all the buildings, and oh, my goodness. I sit back sometimes and just play the video that I had because I had a camcorder in my hand, and I just play it sometimes, and I just sit there and look because, TJ, the young fellow on the phone on the radio with us right now, he don't remember what it was like in the early years.
Right.
But for all those fans – well, those early years in the 80s and the 90s, it was 11 straight double-digit lost seasons when I got there in 95. And for us to come together and win a championship, that's what I always remember, is my city, Tampa, was alive about a championship. I mean, it was alive. I'll never forget that thing. Starting in Davis Island, coming around that hump and getting on Florida and coming right down the middle. Oh, my God. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
That's neat stuff, and it makes it extra special because you know this, Warren, because I've been around for a while. I'm an old fart. I'm older than you.
Listen, and I was raised in Orlando. They used to be
understand.
The Bucs games to me, so trust me.
And the Bucs were bad, Gerald, for so long, and when John Lynch got here, it was a big struggle. When Warren and Derek got here, it was still a struggle, and finally things got turned around. And I guess the logical question then, it makes it all the more sweet, right? It makes it even sweeter when you've been through that to finally get a championship, right? That's what you're saying.
No. When you get in the club, like, you stand around people like Michael Irvin, Marshall Faulks, you know, like that fraternity of the champions, and they look and be like, you won a Super Bowl in Tampa, dog. I mean, it puts a whole different meaning on it. You know, when you hear it from, you know, like, dog, I know we won in Dallas, but you won in Tampa. You got to understand what that really means, because for all of us growing up in the 80s and 90s, I mean, that's when the league really exploded. I mean, that was the dead door left. I mean, dead last. I mean, the Bucko Bruce, the colors, everything. But not our cheerleaders. Our swashbucklers was number one. Never forget it, son. But, nah, it was really sweet. And it's really sweet now to see what it is and the 100,000 – square foot facility and everything that goes into it. It's a sight now to see from what it was. So, and I'm glad I was a part of it.
He told me one day, the first day I met him, and I didn't say anything the first time I walked up to him and he walked out of my face, he came back around the corner and said, if it's one thing I am, it's consistent. I said, damn. And he walked out my face. I said, all right then. Well, there it is.
I won't even talk to you anymore. You want to stop that. You and Anthony McFarland should get together. Let him tell you his first time. He met me, too. That's pretty cool. You and him tell the best first time stories ever. I love that.
Oh, man, that was funny.
Unbelievable. Well, unbelievable.
You have to know, too, that this guy's been putting up with me asking him questions since all the way back in 95, too.
So, No. I don't mind.
But I mean, we always love getting the insight from 99. All right, so anything else you have to say here to Gerald and about this week and this weekend before it gets rolling, Warren?
All Buck fans out there underneath the sound of my voice, be there or be square.
Good enough?
Good enough. As simple as that. Straightforward. Let's get it.
We had 200,000 people on a waiting list. We can't fill up a stadium to have a nice little Sunday afternoon where we kick a little dirty bird around, spanking Eagles. Ain't nothing like sending Andy Reid out. I'm going to tell y'all a story. And when he beat us in that second time in the playoffs, I was down in Atlanta. And I was down there with the kids and the wife at the time, and we was chilling. And I had Do Not Disturb on my door because I was in the room chilling, just relaxing. So one of the guys came and knocked on my door, one of the guys that works at the Atlantis. And I'm looking through the people like, I know I got Do Not Disturb sign on, so he sees me knocking on my door. So I looked again, I say, it ain't security, so he ain't got a gun. So I cracked the door like, yeah. He hands me a shirt, said, Mr. Andy Reid said, give this to you. And he ran off. He ran off before I could get his name. It was a polo shirt of Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow. Really?
I will be giving the big guy a T-shirt when I see him at halftime. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to returning that favor to him. Wow. I am really. Because he came and gave me a shirt like he had won something. I'm going to give him a championship shirt and say, here's what champions do.
You have to understand, Gerald. You have to understand. There was such animosity in the Philadelphia Buck fan. I'm talking about.
That was genuine, pure hate.
There you go.
Hated the Eagles. They hated us. They came down that, you know, because 9/11 saved them from that. Oh, they were going to get it. 9/11 saved them. Because remember, we were going to play on the second game of the year after
right.
They beat us in that playoff. 9/11 saved them. So we've got that preseason junk at the end of the year where it didn't matter. Nobody played. Then we went back. Oh, my God. It was the worst when he handed me that shirt. The worst. So that's why I was on the football field so long after we won the championship game. Because I was waiting to get a shirt because I was going to hand it to him. But he was gone. And then I looked around and my team was gone. And I was the only one standing there. I love that story. I love that story. Bleeding like a hog out of my eye. I'm a champion, ready to go, and I'm looking around for the rest of my team, and I am the only one standing there, Joe. In the middle of the vet, police all around me on this horses and bikes and everything, and I'm looking like, roller stadium, roller stadium, I'm going to have a party, right?
Right.
These are people that threw snowballs at Santa Claus, and I want to go out and pull out an NFC Championship trophy in front of them. Can you imagine that team? We did that with Terry Bradshaw out there. They even hit Terry Bradshaw.
I was going to say, yeah.
They light Terry Bradshaw up with
They did it in the locker room, but right, now mm-hmm. they do it out in midfield.
Right,
that's what I'm telling you. But that was a place that you wouldn't invite that because you know they had a bunch of batteries in their pockets.
So back then, they didn't hand out the trophy right then.
They
no,
did.
No, we were in the locker room.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Joe.
Not in Philly.
You ever been to Philly?
No, I haven't played there.
I might have to take you to Philly there. Get you a taste of the city, and then you go play there. Then you have a real appreciation for it. But my first game in the NFL was in the vet.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah. For what game was my first game in the NFL?
And
I've had some fun.
And forever, he played in the last game in the vet and the Buccaneers.
And the shut out to open the link. Yeah, yes. That's how I tell it.
That's right. That's the following.
I tell it. I opened it, I closed it, and I opened the other one.
Goodness. Again, if you're just joining us on Buccaneers Total Access, we're reminiscing here with Warren Sapp. And also
99 in your program, number one in your heart.
There you go, Gerald McCoy here about this. One other interesting thing about the vet, and I asked this last night of Rondé and John Lynch when we had them on, Warren. I wanted to know, and I did not know, and I do not know this from you. Did you take anything from the vet, any memento, anything? And Rondé actually said, I did not know this, that he had a piece of the turf, the AstroTurf, cut from the field, and he has it taped to the interception ball to this day. It is still there as a memento. Did you take anything from the vet since you tore it up and closed it down by any chance?
Yeah, they heart and they soul.
That was good enough.
And he got it locked up.
Hey, trust me. Whenever I go back to that city, it was so much pleasure. And I went for year after year after year going back to that city. Trust me, I love rubbing it in their face. Because the first thing a person from Philly always says to you is, I'm from Philly. You're like, should I run and hide? You know, when we stop at the Walgreens for me? Yeah. That's what I always say to people in Philly. They always hit me with, I'm from Philly. And I'm like, should I run and hide? I don't get it.
Philly. Now, I don't know how the divisions and stuff were set up back then. What?
I was black and blue until, what was it, TJ? They switched it over. 2000?
Oh, I think that season, the 02 season, was the first year that they switched it to the South. Correct.
That's right. 02 was the first year. We won the South and the championship. Yep.
Okay.
So a lot of the time, though, it was also based on if you won your division and the Eagles won their division, because we were playing in the regular season, right, Warren, like 2 or 3 years in a row and in the playoffs with the Eagles. So that's how it worked.
No, we played them in 99, and then we didn't play them again until the championship year, right?
Until OT. Okay, that might be right.
Yeah, because I baptized Donovan in 99. And we had that 9-sack game where we had...
Well, the 0-1 game that you referenced, which was delayed because of 9-11, so you played them that regular season, too.
I didn't play in that game. That's what I was trying to tell you.
Right at the end.
But we was. Yeah, it was lined up pretty well that we were playing each other. It's just like the Bears right now. They just played Seattle 3 years in a row where Seattle had to fly to them. Sometimes you get caught in those rests in the NFL scheduling. I don't know how Howard Katz is doing it, but he's coming up with it.
All right. So anything else here, Gerald, for Warren?
No. You got anything?
No.
I think he's ready
go. You know how me and you do it. So I'll just
I'll see you Thursday night.
No doubt.
All right. It's called Parlay Thursday, if y'all didn't know, in Tampa. So we'll be out and about. Come find us.
Parlay Thursday for Warren. Hey, I know that a lot of Buck fans have enjoyed hearing you tonight. They're anxious to see you this weekend and glad that you're going to be part of this. Warren, we look forward to it. Thank you.
My pleasure, my man. I'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother.
All right, baby. Be good.
Yep.
How do we follow that, by the way?
Can't. You don't follow up a 99 or a Warren Sapp anything. you just leave it be and let it be it, and then you go on to the next thing.
And so we will do that.
There is no follow-up.
We will do that coming up. Stay with us. It is Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy here tonight. Hope you enjoyed Warren Sapp with us. They're reminiscing about the Super Bowl. How about that story? I don't know that that story's ever been told, that Andy Reid had an Eagles shirt delivered to him, and he intends to give a Buccaneer shirt, if not a Super Bowl shirt, to Andy Reid Sunday. Look out for that. And don't doubt Warren Sapp on being able to get
that
accomplished.
Please don't.
Neither.
Please don't.
We will be back. This is the Buccaneers Radio Network. All right, we are back. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Going to be a lot of fun. I know we had Keyshawn Johnson on Monday night with Mike Williams joining us. We had John Lynch, who's actually working the game for Fox once again this week. We've seen him several times. He will be working the game with Dick Stockton, but they're actually going to let him come out of the broadcast booth, and he will come down on the field. Warren Sapp here with us tonight.
You know who was one of my favorites?
Go ahead.
It was Joe Jerevicius.
Uh-huh.
I think as a kid – or, you know, a young teenager, when you hear that name, it's just like, you got to like Jerevicius. It's just a cool name.
You know what Gene Deckerhoff's famous call from that Eagles game is? You go, Joe, you go, Joe, on the pass, on the catch and run. There'll be some Buccaneer fans saying that probably this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, that team was outstanding. That was amazing.
Yeah, so we're going to have a lot of fun with that, obviously, on Sunday. We've got a few moments here.
Of their teammates will not leave. He just, for some reason, doesn't want to leave the team. He's still here.
You're talking about the guy that in the room that we're in that's over your shoulder right now.
Him.
Number 20.
Him.
Rondae Barber.
he won't leave. I love it, though. Rondae's a man. And, one thing Sat mentioned, he said Rondae has a way with words. He does. I mean, he'll say something so smooth and so slick, and then you catch it. You're like, we going to use that, you know. Coach always puts up quotables or whatever. Our mindset should be leaving the building each day. And one day, Rondae said something, and we look up there, we walking out the building, and there it is. I'm like, there go Rondae again.
Yeah, he's always got something. Oh, and that's a
there
guy
goes Rondae again.
That's a guy he that's just, been through it.
He does it.
All right, if you are out there and you wish to get a quick comment in or a question for Gerald McCoy, we do have a few minutes here on Buccaneers Total Access. Like Gerald said, I don't know how you follow up 99 holding court there for a while.
You don't even try.
What is it on the NFL Network? It's Judge Sapp too now.
It's Judge Sapp.
Have you seen him putting on the robe and being Judge Sapp?
Judge Sapp.
Yeah. So Judge Sapp there holding court with us as well. 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620 and toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free for you to join us if you've got a quick question or comment here as we get ready for this weekend. Hey, back to the preparation for the game. Nick Foles, while we have a moment, has been named as the starting quarterback for this game, and Andy Reid intends, he's announced, to start him for the rest of the year. Having watched some of the tape of the last two or three games, what do you see out of Nick Foles that you guys have as far as a challenge Sunday?
Surprisingly enough, to be in the situation he's in and the team is in general, he's a very calm, cool, collected rookie. I mean, he actually sits in the pocket. I mean, he can move around a little bit, but he actually sits in the pocket and makes some pretty decent throws. You know, he makes his basic rookie mistakes, but you know, for the most part, he's pretty relaxed in the pocket, and he doesn't immediately take off running. I mean, he slides and moves in the pocket and tries to make a good throw.
Logical question here. Michael Vick is a lot more mobile. He seems to stay in the pocket. Are they running a lot of the same stuff without revealing all the secrets? Does it look like on the tape
it's
basically
the offense.
Same offense,
it's
right?
The Eagles offense.
So you just got to be ready for the Eagles.
You just get ready for the Eagles.
What about Bryce Brown in the backfield?
Who has, dude is good.
He's put up some yards.
That dude is good.
What you see.
He's the thing is, he's not as shifty as Shady is, but he gets downhill like Shady does, and he can cut back on you like Shady does. And when he gets full head of steam, that guy can run. He's fast. But their running style is the same, minus the, you know, the shifty movements and shakes and stuff.
You know, they also have put DeSean Jackson on the injured reserve, but Riley Cooper was making plays last week in the pass game, too.
I think Riley Cooper is very sneaky for that team because if you've watched the Eagles the past few years, you hear Riley Cooper, Riley Cooper, Riley Cooper. It's different. It's very sporadic. Different times you hear him, but he's when he comes, it's always, you know, he's making a splash play. So, you know, you got to be ready for that guy.
You know, again, the Eagles will come in as a 3-9 team. You were mentioning this, though, earlier in the show, that that also makes them dangerous in this kind of game because they, you know, may be willing to take chances that you wouldn't normally see them take. They are in the role here at the end of the year. You've got young guys, too, that are fighting to impress coaches, like what we're talking about, Nick Foles, Riley Cooper, Bryce Brown, that are fighting to impress the coaching staff and the organization about their playing time and whatever. So that's part of the challenge as well for this team.
Definitely. That's why I say this team, they don't have anything to lose. They just going to go out there and cut it loose. They had issues with their defensive coordinator earlier in the season. They've had recent issues with their defensive line coach. I mean, they're doing a lot of making a lot of changes around there in Philly. And as things go on, all you can do is cut it loose and just go out there and play every game full speed and just, you know, play as reckless as possible, you know, with reckless abandon. But I'm sure they're going to come out, play technique, and do what they do. But their effort level and how tenacious they'll be, I think it'll be, you know, ramped up. So we got to be ready.
We have time for a call or two here. It's Dave in Bradenton. You're on here with Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? TJ, Gerald, in honor. Thank you for the call. First of all, I think the Eagles are ripe for the pick, and I think y'all going to tear them up, especially on an honorable day that it's going to be.
But, definitely.
And Warren Sapp, I'll tell you, that's a nut. Boy, he's a nut. But and I mean that as a compliment. He just seems like such a happy man, but –
I can share with the audience, having been around him since the time he got here, that is him. Was him. That was him 17 years ago. That was him Super Bowl year. That's him 10 years later. That will be him, Gerald and Dave, and audience 10 years from now. 25, yeah, that's Warren. There you go.
I hear you. One last comment, and I'll let you go. He referred to a young man, I believe he was a young man, named Dwight. Well, that was Dwight Smith, who scored just as many touchdowns as Keenan McCardell in the Super Bowl that day at Qualcomm Stadium. He had two interceptions, and he returned them both for touchdowns. And I just wanted to let that out there, a little bit of something. Dwight Smith, good God, I don't know where he is, but I hope he's doing well.
Well, we'll see if he's going to be here and be part of it this weekend. Dave, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Dwight Smith had two
number
interceptions.
26.
Number 26 in that Super Bowl.
I was a Bucs fan for real.
I know you were.
I don't think people realize
that. Interceptions of Rich Gannon that day. You know, Rondé and John Lynch were talking about this last night, that all the talk coming into that game was not if the Raiders were going to win, but how much because of their offense and whatever. And if you go back, and many Buc fans do, and watch that game and watch the Buccaneer pass rush, the Raiders could not run the ball at all. Watch the Buccaneer pass rush getting after Rich Gannon. Watch five interceptions from the Buccaneer defense eventually.
That was ridiculous. Yeah. I was sitting back as a kid, like, and when I was watching it, you know, you don't realize how difficult causing a turnover or getting a sack or, you know, those types of things are as a young teenager. You know, but when you see all that happening, you don't care. You're just seeing it happen. You're just going crazy. But now I can actually appreciate more of what they were really doing in that game. Five interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And what, three sacks?
At least three or four sacks.
I mean, they were getting busy, and they just obliterated, you know, Oakland Raiders. I mean, you could definitely tell a team that had never been there before, didn't know when they were going to be back, and was making the most of the moment. And you could see that in how the Bucks played. You could see the difference in how they played and how Oakland played. And I could see that, you know,
sure,
being young, definitely now when I look back, it's very evident.
I'll tell you another quick story, being in the media and being I was actually in the second level of the stadium in San Diego in the end zone. There were a ton of Buck fans up in the highest third level, and long about the third quarter, they all started chanting Warren, Warren, when he was out on the field, speaking of 99 with us, and he kept putting his hand up to his ear, kind of like Hulk Hogan from the wrestling days, speaking of a reference there, while they were doing that. I will always remember that part in the second half, where the Buccaneer defense got control of things there in that game. So a lot of fun reminiscing about the Super Bowl. Here is Rob in St. Pete on Buccaneers Total Access here with Gerald McCoy. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Gerald.
What's happening, Rob?
Not much, man. How's it going?
I'm doing all right, brother.
Hey, I got a question for you. How do you prepare for a game on like a Saturday as opposed to Sunday morning or whatever, if you're playing on Monday night? What do you do the day before?
Okay. I believe he's asking just my day before a game preparation.
Take us through, right, your routine. Take us through a day before a game, what you would do.
Well, we always have a walkthrough before we meet. We have a walkthrough, and depending on – I'll go through home in a way. Home, you know, we have a few hours off, really the whole day up until chapel, which is the first, you know, thing – that's offered to us. The first mandatory thing we have is special teams meeting. So, you know, me personally, I just try and go get off my feet. Whether it's – and I don't really watch college football, so I don't go watch college football. I either go watch a movie, just sleep all day, play some video games. But whatever I do, I try to not be somewhere. I try to be wherever I'm at, have my feet up, you know, relaxing because you know I got to go to war the next day. And as far as the evening, you know, we just have meetings. You know, Roy Miller's always my roommate. And we go way back to high school. So we just, you know, chop it up and have fun in the room and just kick back. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that even at home, you guys go as a team to the hotel
right,
the same way that you would be on a road.
Definitely.
And get ready and get prepared the night before.
And I mean,
curfew, and go to play.
And I mean, the way trips is not pretty. It's not really much to it because you don't have as much freedom as you do at home. So when you go away, you know, you might grab your bite to eat or something. If you go into chapel, you don't have as much time as if, you know, you just go on the special teams. But that's pretty much it, man. All the preparation is throughout the week. I mean, you can prepare through the event is what our coach likes to say. But on Saturday, you know, I just try and relax. And when it's time to think about football, I do. But when I don't have to, I just don't, because you could drive yourself crazy. Think about it all day, and you can get riled up too early. My fiance always says to me, you know, babe, you ready for the game? I'm like, not yet. But tomorrow, trust me, I'll be ready. Right now, I'm just staying even keel. I don't want to burn that fire out too soon.
Do you and Roy argue over the remote?
No. Me and Roy, we go back, man.
Does that mean that you always agree on what you're going to watch?
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know. I mean, he's just like, it's like we take turns. Whoever grab it, they just turn to something like, hey, let's watch this.
Do you have a certain video game that you have to beat his brains out in that's a superstition or anything? No. Nothing in specific?
No.
Is he any good at video games?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so it's actually competitive.
Yeah, he is.
If it comes
Roy's
up.
Good.
All right, so there's some insight into what it will be like for Saturday and getting ready for the Eagles. One more time. We got about 30 seconds. Say something to the Bucs fans. There are tickets still available. Yeah, I know you want them out there in full force, my friend. The tickets, I'm told, are going quick, but go ahead.
all Buccaneers fans under my voice, be there or be square.
I think that sums it up. That's what 99 had to say. That's what Gerald has to say. All right, thank you. Go get them Sunday, all right?
All right, let's get it.
There is number 93, and our thanks also to Warren Sapp. Number 9, he says call him NFL Network now, not just 99. Warren Sapp with us here tonight. My thanks also to Eric Sachs back at the station. Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. And we will get ready for the Bucks and the Eagles Sunday at 1 here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.